Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine. Canada, huh? Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit? Fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
And I'm back with the madness. I'm a champion of the people who don't believe in champions. I got nothing but dreams inside. I got nothing but dreams. I'm just young enough to still believe, still believe. But young enough not to know what to believe in. Young enough not to know what to believe in, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show, Strictly Talks Hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. Lots to go over, lots, as we are back in studio, although one person isn't. Jason is in Toronto. He's at a book signing for his book, so congratulations, Jason. That's awesome. To my left, though, is a voice you may recognize. She was a host here for a number of months. Jenna Thompson, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, we're happy to have you back. It's great. I mean, obviously, you know, we never get to hear your voice enough, and you're busy with all sorts of stuff now, so lots going on, which is great. Song here tonight, Fall Out Boy's Champion, was released June 22nd, 2017, from their Mania album. It was co-written with Sia, for those that don't know. Sia had a hand in this one. But bassist Pete Wentz went on Instagram, and he said regarding the song, quote, "In my head, champions aren't born, they're forged." And I honestly believe that he may have been onto something, because we got to see a lot of championship hockey this weekend with the U Sports National Championships on tap and in living color for, well, at least for me anyway, because I was out in Saskatoon where we did some shows from and had some fun with that. So let's start there. We got lots to go over with this stuff. So we'll start at the top. We'll start with the best. We'll start with the champs. As Concordia and Toronto met in the final. Now, Concordia and Toronto had met five times prior to this. Concordia had a 4-1 record against Toronto, including the very first championship where they won gold medal over Toronto in 1998.
Oh, wow. Goes way back.
Way back. So this rivalry certainly had. They haven't played against each other, though, since 2003, I believe. 2002, 2003. So it's been a while since they met each other, but the number one team in the nation, Concordia, which was 25-0 in the regular season, they lost a few games on the way in terms of the playoffs that they played, but they ended up winning the RSEC in terms of the RSEQ championship. Concordia did prevail. They won 3-1 over Toronto. It's their third medal in a row. It's their second gold medal in 3 years, which is awesome. It's their fourth gold medal overall in school history, and they finished the season this year 39-3-1.
Wow.
So they were a bit of a machine this year when it came to playing that that game that we call hockey. Jessie Maud-Drapeau, she was the MVP. She had an outstanding game in the final. She was excellent all weekend. She scored the game-winning goal as well. And we do have a clip of Jessie Maud's goal here. We'll get it on the air for you if I can find the clip. Where did I put it? Oh, there she is. There we go. Here we go. I just got to find it. It's the whole problem, right? Here we go.
In play, Leonie Philbert with a pass to Drapeau. And in front, and they score! Oh, it was a slippery one, but Jessie Maud-Drapeau made sure it counts.
So Jessie Maud with the game winner right there. She scored the second goal in that 3-1 victory in terms of getting that set up. So congratulations to her. She had an outstanding season as well. Again, outstanding hockey all weekend from Concordia. They really didn't run into a lot of trouble against any team. They kind of handled everybody okay. I will say this, though. Thursday night, Saskatchewan-Concordia, 8-1. 2,346 people at that game.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
It was like, again, cameras on the one side didn't show some of the empty seats because there were seats for sponsors and teams that were open because, you know, not everybody's going to show up or whatever. But that place was packed. It was incredible to see all those people coming out and cheering for women's hockey in the middle of Saskatchewan. Like, I know that the Huskies get good support, but to see that kind of support was awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I know, I mean, even over the last few years, the game's grown so much. Yeah. And I think, you know, that kind of just ties into that right there. I mean, you have, I'm sure a lot of those people there watching were young girls too as well. So, I don't know. That's awesome, though.
So we, I mean, I got in there on Tuesday night and got, you know, everything set up on Wednesday. And on Wednesday afternoon, they were saying they'd already sold out like 1,600 seats and they were selling the standing room only sort of area, which a lot of people were standing for, which was awesome. But it, yeah, it, that, I mean, it rocked. And then they played again, because they lost the first game, which sucks. They had to play St. FX on like at like 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Which you go, okay, like that's an awful time to play, like yeah, brutal. And they still had like 600 to 700 people out that for that game.
Wow.
Like there was the stands were still, I mean, they're not packed.
Yeah, but full.
filled enough that it, you know, if you scored, and they did, you heard it. Like yeah, it was loud. So it was awesome to see. So congratulations to Saskatchewan, Saskatoon. We'll talk a little bit more about them at the end, but Montreal ended up winning the bronze medal. Montreal Carabin, they ended up winning the bronze medal in a shootout over Waterloo by a 2-1 score. Kellyanne Nadeau, who played in the FISU World Games or Universiade Games in 2023, she scored the game-winning goal in the shootout. Juliette Roland, she may have saved everything for Montreal this weekend though, because she scored late in the game. We'll play this clip as well for you, because again, this is ridiculous. Here's Juliette's goal.
6 Carabin to 5 Warriors. Can they get the equalizer? They do. Montreal Carabin tie the game up. 25 seconds left in the bronze medal.
So they were down 1-0 the entire game, basically, and then with 25 seconds remaining, Juliette Roland finds the loose puck and hits Twine with it. So good for her. Again, just Montreal played outstanding this weekend. I mean, they rolled through. They beat UBC in the upset UBC in their first game, which not that I'm cheering for either team, but it was kind of awesome. And then after that, I mean, played an overtime game against Toronto, lost in overtime against Toronto to miss out on the final, but then won in the shootout to beat. They lost in the shootout to Toronto and then won in the shootout over Waterloo. So Montreal, a little bit of redemption there as well. But, I mean, honestly, and I'll say this, Jenna, because you can probably agree or disagree. I mean, you will agree or disagree. I know that there's only two options here. But shootouts to decide medal winners in a national championship have got to be the worst way to decide anything.
I 100% agree. I remember even the one time in the Olympics, that game when it went into a shootout.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, of all games, and even this, that I, any kind of medal.
Like, consolation side, yeah, I don't whatever. Care about. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
No.
You guys play for whatever. But we're talking about a medal. Like, this matters.
That's literally, like, it comes down to almost luck, in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to have the skill to score, but,
yeah,
you know, bad bounce, bad zoom. I don't know.
Well, but you're taking the team element out of
yeah,
a team game, right? Like,
yeah,
it shouldn't be a shootout. So,
no.
I mean, I hate that idea. But, I mean, Montreal still wins. I mean, we can't take that away from them. So, and, I mean, I'll say this as well. I mean, Manitoba benefited in 2018 because they beat Concordia to get into the final on a shootout as well. So, I mean, same thing. Toronto beat Montreal to get into the final this year. So, you kind of go, yeah, there's a purpose, but they shouldn't be. The medal round should never have a shootout in it. It should be decided by a team. And I get you can't play all night. I get that's not something you want to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, though, it should still be decided by the team, not by an individual skill.
I agree. 100%.
But whatever. I mean, that's my complaint there with U Sports. No big deal. Earlier in the day on Sunday, UBC beat Saskatchewan 4-1 for fifth place. It was a very physical game. We'll get into that in a second. But perhaps the biggest goal of the weekend came off the stick in the game that got Saskatchewan into this game. That was against St. FX. Brooklyn Steveley scored a goal. We'll play the goal. I'll play the clip, and I'll give you why. And again, you're going to go, what's so special about this? It's not really that great or whatever, but here's Brooklyn Steveley's goal. Oh, wait, hold on. That's not the... Got to get the... There we go. There we go.
Line, Steveley, high slot, wrist shot, score!
Okay, so CBC obviously doesn't know how to use their audio very well, but whatever. So Brooklyn scored. Now you're gonna go, okay, well, what's so special about that? Brooklyn scored in that game against St. FX. Brooklyn had missed the earlier part of the season. She was out with an injury, and then was coming back, was basically rehabbing to ready to come back, and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer prior to Christmas. So she's been out for a long time, And she told, she was basically cleared after Calgary beat Saskatchewan to come back and start playing. The doctors basically cleared her, gave her clear bill of health, get back in there. Brooklyn's got one thing to play for, and that's national. So the question came down to, was she going to use her eligibility, her 1 year of eligibility, to come back and play at the most maybe 3 games? And she decided, yeah, I'm gonna do that. It's nationals. It may be the only time I get to play in them. So Brooklyn said, I'll play, suited up on Thursday night against Concordia, played well. Like, didn't look at like she had missed a beat. And then, like I said, came back on Saturday and scored that big goal against St. FX to legitimately score her only goal of the season, but one that comes with all sorts of monkey off your back kind of ideas. So
yeah, that's I have goosebumps right now. Yeah. I mean, just the feeling. I mean, those 3 games were probably the most important 3 games of her life right now. You know what I mean? And for her to come back and just not even play well, but to get that goal, that's incredible.
But to rehab sort of an injury prior to that, and then come back and get that news, and then, oh my God, I got to sit. I can't play again. I can't imagine that. And then to jump into nationals, like, we're talking the 8 best teams in Canada. And not look out of step at all. Like, you haven't missed a beat. You've been playing all season. Like, that's phenomenal. So I'm happy for Brooklyn. Happier than I think I am for a lot of the players that scored goals this weekend, because Brooklyn kind of deserved that. So as I mentioned, the game turned kind of physical in that UBC Saskatchewan game. And I want to sort of bring everybody into perspective now, because I'll say it as nicely as I can. Nobody likes to lose. No, especially when in your own home barn, you don't want to see another team come in and beat you, and especially one that kind of beat up on everybody this year in UBC out in Canada West. So it's a classic Canada West battle. UBC and Saskatchewan, these two teams don't like each other. They have a history. They have a long history, to be exact. And things got a little physical. At one point, Grace Elliott got tangled up with Isabella Posey and fell on top of Isabella in the Saskatchewan zone. And it looked like Isabella might be seriously hurt. Like, she did not get up. She barely moved after Grace, like, got up and skated away. And there was a lot of, I mean, you know, refs blow the play dead when Saskatchewan touches the puck. You know, no big deal. And they go, you know, get everybody out, sort of check on her. And there were some things that were said in the crowd, things that were yelled towards the benches, towards the ice, that probably shouldn't have been said. Many came with words that we can't use on the radio. Not good for, I mean, not a good look for anybody. And again, I don't know what was picked up on the camera. I was at the rink that day working, so I have no idea what was picked up on the camera. I was at the rink watching. But at the end of the day, Grace Elliott's a 20-year-old art student at UBC. 20 years old. Like, we're talking about, she's not a teenager, but she's basically just past being a teenager. And you're screaming about how she's the dirtiest player ever. Get her off the ice. She should never play, you know, again, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get the rivalry, but she's a 20-year-old art student, and she heard it. And after the game, a couple of her teammates, you know, when they're talking with their parents, said, like, yeah, like, Grace was pretty hurt by some of the comments that were made. And, I mean, Grace scored later in the game. Like, credit to her for shaking it off. She came back and played hard. But those comments don't go away.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to me to hear that happens. Even, like you said, she's 20 years old. Like, she's a kid, essentially. You know what I mean? And she's playing a sport that she loves. And I think the people in the stands kind of sometimes forget also, like, the intensity on the ice. Like, nobody's out there intentionally trying to hurt people. Yes, it gets physical. And yes, sometimes there is dirty things. But they're not going out there saying, hey, I'm going to knock this girl out. That's insane to me. And I can see why she's upset, though. You know, she's out there playing it on one of the biggest stages she's probably ever played at.
They were there last year, too.
Okay, but still, you know.
But at the end of the day, though, she's not a hired gun by any means. Like, she's out there. And again, the difference in height between Isabella and Grace is evident. Like, Grace is 6'1". Isabella's 5'6" or 5'7". Like, there's a significant size difference there. And again, I'm not saying that what happened, I'm not saying it shouldn't have been penalized, I'm not saying they got tangled up and they were battling, and again, one loses their balance, the other one takes the other one down, and it just happened that Grace ended up landing on top of Isabella. Again, was it dirty? You can judge for yourself. The video is online, you can watch it on YouTube, the CBC Sports are all on there. But at the end of the day, Grace never, it's not like Grace intended to go out there and hurt Isabella by any means. It's not like Isabella had a target on her back and everybody's taking shots at her. It just happened. And I really feel bad, because And again, I'm not trying to defend what goes on the ice. I know there's battles all over the place, and I know that, you know, players don't like each other, and, you know, the logo on the jerseys obviously override a lot of those feelings you have. Again, friends are no longer friends when the whistle goes. Like, I get that in terms of when the puck is on the ice, puck is dropped, there are no friendships anymore if you're wearing a different color jersey. I get that. But she's still a 20-year-old art student. She's not out there to, she's not going to be waiting in some dark alley to club Isabella after the game. She's legitimately just doing her job.
Exactly. And like you said, even with the height difference, I mean, these are, no matter the like height, but still size-wise, strength-wise and everything, it's going to happen, you know? And like you said, go judge it for yourself. I haven't seen it. But either way, I can guarantee, even if there was dirtiness to it, I can guarantee you she wasn't going out there saying, I'm going to hurt this girl, you know? So, yeah, that's, I mean, people just, I don't know. That's wild to me.
And again, I'm not trying to apologize for anything that happened before or after mm-hmm. that. Again, this is an isolated play. I mean, there were some issues I would have had with some of the plays before and some of the plays after. But again, I think this was an isolated play. It was away from the puck. Puck was down the ice. They just got tangled up. Like, their arms and their legs were, I mean, they basically, it was a puck battle on the boards, and Grace and Isabella were battling. And I mean, they just got, again, tangled up on, along the boards. And it just so happened that Isabella fell backwards and Grace fell on top of her.
Yeah.
I look at it and I go, you can be angry. You can certainly support your team and not like the other team based on the rivalry, but we need to remember that these girls are legitimately in their early 20s at the very most, and a lot of them aren't. They have no malice towards anybody else, because we see you guys what, three, four times a year at the very most. At the very most, one more game is not going to make the difference, especially in a fifth place game.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you said it perfectly. People need to realize, like, whether you can cheer for your team all you want, but again, they're 20 at the most. Some of them might even be like 17. So not at this point,
no,
18.
I mean, 18, yeah.
But still, you know, that's just,
I mean, you can be angry
at
you can be angry at Graham Thomas, the head coach, for the way that they play the game. You can be angry at the outcome of the game. You can be angry at whatever you want. But to basically direct that anger at a 20-year-old woman, I don't know if I would not want to be that guy.
It's kind of embarrassing for them, you know? I don't know.
Like, and again, I get it. I get that, you know, the parents are angry, you know, in terms of what's going on. You don't want to see your kid hurt either. You don't want to see any, you know, your friends. But again, it's not like she was like, I'm just going to take her out of the knees.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my diatribe on that, because it really bothered me after the game to hear some of the UBC players say, like Grace struggled with it. Like, she was at the bench going like, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to.
That's tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, you hope that she's okay. You hope that she bounces back, that, you know, she's got the resolve not to let this get to her too much. But at the same time, though, we should have never got to that point.
So exactly.
Hopefully Grace is all right. I mean, Isabella looked good. She came back in the game. She skated again. I'm happy that Isabella was okay. But yeah, those comments really aren't needed. So the other big issue we have coming out of Nationals, and again, you can go crazy on me if you want here and yell at me and tell me I'm wrong, but UNB finished 7th, St. FX finished 8th. The bottom two teams from the AUS, I don't want to say again, but it's again. the AUS is a collective 24-81 against the rest of Canada. Okay, so since 1998,
oh, wow,
they've won 24 of 105 games.
That's almost a quarter.
almost. Including UNB, who was there this year, they're 1-6 now after Nationals. And St. FX, I don't want to say they improved, but St. FX's record after this year's Nationals is now an abominable 11-36.
Oh, yikes.
They were there at the very beginning. They've been to a number of Nationals. They've been to, I think, to 17 of them, and they've only won 11 games. You can't tell me that this is working in terms of having these teams not playing each other more often. And I mean that in a good way, in that we rank teams. We see that U Sports puts out the weekly rankings every week. Every week look who our top 10 are. And yet St. FX was ranked 5 going into this tournament, and both Montreal ranked number 7 and Toronto ranked number 6 finished ahead of them. I guarantee you Saskatchewan may have given Saskatchewan beat them. They were ranked number 8. And you're telling me that they were the 5th best team in the country?
Yeah, it's so hard because they don't play.
But that's the thing.
So you have teams like Concordia, for example, who probably hasn't played them, have they?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. I'm like trying to picture my map here. But no. Yeah.
I mean, in their history, they may have played each other once or twice.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah,
not. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not this year. No. So like St. Mary's, which also goes often because they're one of the other good teams that are there. They ranked 10th in the very last week of the season. They ranked number 10. Their collective experience at Nationals is 5-15. They legitimately win one quarter of their games.
Better than nothing.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's not good at all. So, yikes. Like, I get the idea behind trying to have Nationals and trying to have, you know, a national ranking system where it works. And Jason and I have gone over this a number of times about how flawed the ranking system is in this country in terms of just having such a lack of crossover between teams. But at the end of the day, you would think that maybe the teams could, or maybe the conferences could. Again, I know that money is tight for a lot of these schools, but maybe there could be a week or two where there is crossover, where you take a week in September and a week in October and a week in November. Or no, I guess maybe not September because everybody's getting back to school, but October, say the last week of October, the last week of November, and you cross over and you play a couple teams from the AUS or the RSEC or the OUA, and you figure out whether or not these teams are actually as good as they say they are in terms of where, again, you might be great in your own division. Again, UNB and St. FX, for example. But if you can't get out of Canada, you can't get out of the Maritimes without getting your butt kicked by the rest of Canada.
Yeah, there's a problem.
we're not sending teams like Mount Royal and Alberta to Nationals because they lose in Canada West. Yet we're sending teams from the AUS that go 24-81 collectively.
Yeah,
you can't tell me it makes sense.
No, it definitely doesn't, and I agree. There needs to be some sort of crossover. But like you said, so, how do they make that? I mean,
okay,
there is
so
a lot
we
of
said
teams.
So we said because again, I know Ontario screws everything up because they play right to the very last weekend, right before Nationals. They have the Macaw Cup on that last weekend or whatever. Which okay, fine, I don't care about, but whatever. But what would be great is if they did Nationals over the week and then brought in 4 more teams. And I'll say that because, again, you've got 8 teams right now. So the champions get the top 4 spots. I have no problem with that because we have 4 conferences. And although I do have a problem with the RESEQ having 4 teams and getting 2 spots at Nationals. So anyway, but this is why I'm saying this now, because they shouldn't have 2 spots tonight. So you bring in the top 4 teams who win, because again, they're the champions. They're going to win. They deserve to be there. But then you have the 8 teams roll in on Monday and Tuesday and play an actual play-in round into Thursday and Friday where you can play in. So you can bring in the finalists and then, you know, the next top 4 ranked teams in the nation who got knocked out. And then have those teams play off against each other and really set up a national tournament where the best of the best get in, as opposed to just, well, we won we came in 2nd in our conference. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually, I like that idea. Just make it a bit longer. And I mean, only fair, like you said, there is a lot of teams, even Alberta.
So here, I'll give you the example. So at the end of the season, Concordia was ranked 1, UBC was ranked 2. They both went. Alberta was ranked 3. They didn't go. Mount Royal was ranked, or excuse me, Guelph was ranked 3. They didn't go. Alberta was ranked 4. They didn't go. Mount Royal was ranked 5. They didn't go.
Yikes.
Okay. 6 got in, which was St. Mary's in terms of them getting in. 7 didn't go. That was Nipissing. 8 went, which was Toronto. 9 went, which was UNB. And 10, St. Mary's, did not go. So half of your top 10 didn't even make it to Nationals.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it shouldn't be like that.
No.
I mean, Nationals is about, you know, the best of the best.
Right.
Playing for the best.
And that's the thing, is that we don't have the best of the best. And again, I'm not saying that you should get a free pass in because you were in the top 10. But if you have one of the top, like the top 4 records in Canada and you don't make the Nationals, you should be into that play-in round then.
Yeah, just
if you're really that good, you should be able to advance into the tournament then at that point, right?
Yeah.
But that we never see anything like that. And we never have anything come up with that because, again, I don't know if teams don't want to spend the extra money or whatever or don't want to propose anything. But honestly, not having more, and again, I know we're biased because we're out here in Canada West, but if you can get out of Canada West, you've got a better than good shot.
Yeah.
At winning.
I agree.
Like, there were three teams in the top five this year from Canada in the final rankings from Canada West. Yeah. If you have three in the top five, one of those teams is automatically not going to Nationals.
Yeah.
And in this case, because Saskatchewan hosted, two automatically weren't going.
Oh, I guess so, hey?
How do you tell two of your top five teams, guess what, you're not coming?
Yeah, sorry. Sucks to suck. Do it again next year and we'll see.
Yeah.
Like,
Good luck next year. Ha ha.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that idea, though. It makes sense, so I don't know why it hasn't been put into motion, because this doesn't, the way it is now, doesn't
right,
make sense.
Right, and that's the whole problem, is that we cannot make sense out of any of this when you tell half of your top 10 you're not invited.
Yeah, sorry.
You know what? You were one of the best teams all year, but we don't need you at Nationals.
Play good again next year.
We don't
you can
need
try
you.
It.
Congratulations, we don't need you.
Maybe you can.
And
host
we said,
it.
And we said in the OUA final. So the OUA doesn't. They do a crossover in the semifinal for some stupid reason, which pitted number three Guelph against number eight Toronto against, and then the other semifinal was unranked York against unranked Waterloo. Why didn't you have the two ranked teams play the two unranked teams? You just basically eliminated a top 10 team in the semifinal on purpose.
How are they
because so
does
what happened,
nobody else think of this
no
though?
But again, like, I don't know if anybody else has paid attention, but I mean, I pay attention because I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, I hate this. So in the semifinal they cross over, so a West team plays an East team, and it's just the way that they're matched up in terms of how they ranked all season long. So Nipissing, which ranked ahead of Toronto, matches up against the top team in Guelph because they're on that same bracket, and vice versa. Except Waterloo beat Laurier to get in there, and then York upset Nipissing to get in there. Well, now that you've upset the only other ranked team on the setup, there's nobody from there's you're gonna have one unranked team going to Nationals.
Huh. I'm just like trying to wrap my brain around.
I know you can't.
How...
It's infuriating. So
it actually really is.
So I'm done with national rankings, dear you sports. Do not rank teams anymore until you get to Nationals. There's no point in saying that Team A is better than Team B when we know it's not true. And it was proven this year. Saint Effect should not have been the number six team in the nation if they got beat by number eight, number nine, and number 10. In two consecutive weekends.
Yeah.
But they are.
Oh, goodness.
But they are. And you know what? We'll even improve it. We'll put up to number five at Nationals and then let everybody at Nationals take a run at them as well.
Perfect. That sounds like fun.
Ridiculous. Nope. Ridiculous. Anyway, that's my rant for the women's hockey side. Let's get to men's hockey. We've got a few more to go here in terms of getting stuff done here. Men's hockey will be a lot quicker because there is no – I'll start with that. There is no fifth place game in the U Cup. So it's a one and done for a lot of teams there, which, that's again, is terrible as well. Oh. But the U Cup doesn't do fifth place games. So teams that lost on Thursday – remember, this is the opening day. Like, you left your city on Tuesday, get down there, practice once, and then play on Thursday. Calgary and Brock went home the next day.
Yikes.
There is
I
no...
I mean, at least they saved money, I guess.
Sure, but there is if you're a team that's expecting to go to be there for a while. Yeah, we're going to book a...
That's
we're gonna,
tough.
We're going to... We'd like to cancel the other 2 days on our reservation here at the hotel for all 30
that's
players.
That's awful. Like, what if you just have like a bad game? See you later.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
That's exactly what happened. Or if you're Brock, where you have an outstanding goaltender and you run into a beast like UNB.
Yeah.
Can't help you. Sorry.
Oh.
So the teams on Friday, yes. Moncton and UBC, also went home the next day because there is no fifth place game. So we're done. See ya. Thanks for having us down here in Toronto for a day.
Yeah. Yikes. All that for nothing.
One game, one and done.
One game, and you know what? They got to practice out of it too. So
we had to practice in Maple Leaf Gardens. We're awesome.
Yeah.
There we go. We'll start in the bronze medal game. McGill beat Toronto Metro University, TMU. If you're thinking, what is that? That's Ryerson's new name. TMU beat Ryerson, McGill beat Ryerson. McGill beat TMU 3-2 to win the bronze medal. Nothing really to report there, although McGill played well all season. They're a couple of OUA rivals. The big game, though, was the championship, and this is where things get mighty interesting because, as we talked about prior to Jason leaving, UNB was a beast this year. They legitimately ran over everybody. Like, there was nobody close to them this year. They averaged like almost 6 goals a game. Like, oh, wow. they were the best team to ever have been built in U sports. Well, they beat UQTR by a 4-0 score in the gold medal game.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so they won. Like, no real surprise there. Like, if anybody's going, that should have never happened. No, you clearly didn't watch any hockey this season. Brody Gilmore was named the MVP. We do have him scoring the game-winning. He scored the first goal, which was the game-winner, in the gold medal game. Here is that clip.
Noel can't keep it in. Austin Keating, long pass. Gilmore, breakaway. Gilmore scores! Brady Gilmore!
Funny how CBC can get the audio right on that one, though. So Gilmore scored. He's probably going to turn pro. He's been talking a lot about, you know, looking at where he's going to go. And Brady Gilmore is going to – Brady Gilmore probably going to go pro. Where, we don't know yet. He's going to be taking probably 100 offers, so whatever. The big thing you need to know, though, this is the 10th time that UNB has won the U Cup since 2007. So they're pretty good.
Yeah, just pretty good.
Though. They finished the season 43-0.
Oh, my God.
They are on a 47-game winning streak right now because they won last year as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the first time ever that a men's team in the history of the U Cup has ever pitched 3 straight shutouts. They shut out all 3 teams they played at Nationals.
That's incredible.
They are a beast. So here's Gardner McDougal, head coach, talking a little bit about how special this one was in terms of his team putting together a magical season.
Unbelievable, special. I think you can say that about them all, and they always say which one's most special. I guess that's always the last one, but we go back the first time we won in 07, and there's a link here to our team. The Rob Henniker now is an unbelievable coach. Denny Johnson, our team doctor. Few people would know we had to stitch up Sam Richard between the second and third period, and he got cut in the back of his leg, and who else would have the team doctor right there to be able to do that, you know? So yeah, really what the group done is historic. I mean, to go through the AUS, we know how competitive that league is, and then to come to this tournament and to, you know, go through the 3 wins and 3 shutouts is historic, and full credit to the group. They just continue to find ways to get better every time they get on the ice.
So there's Gardner McDougal, head coach, and I'm going to say it right now, he better be in the Hall of Fame, considering that he's, you know, the winningest coach. He's got the most U Cups. He's basically, Claire Drake is basically a dwarf compared to him. Like, the stuff that Claire Drake did was impressive, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Gardner McDougal has eclipsed all of those numbers that Claire Drake put up. So if Gardner McDougal does not make the Hall of Fame, there's a serious problem with the Hall of Fame. That's all I can say. But UNB wins there. UNB takes the championship in the men's side, and they are officially U Cup champions for this year and 2-time reigning champions now. We'll see if they can do it again next year. See if they can extend that 47 game win streak now.
I hope that they can, just because that's incredible.
That is an outstanding insane number in terms of like, you think men's hockey, nobody wins 47 in a row. Nobody does that. Not even in your wildest dreams. And these guys were out there just ripping it up.
Yeah, like averaging 6 goals a game. Like, that's, it's not like 1-0 games, you know? Wow.
So yeah, they had some fun. I can say that for certain. So, Jen, you had a little fun this weekend too, I understand.
I did.
You were busy. You spent this past weekend out in Hartney, Manitoba, home of the AAA Westman Wildcats, I believe, as well.
Yes.
As the Riot Cup was played in memory of one Jordan Reimer, who is huge loss for the Reimer family. Huge loss for the McEwen Griffin family. Because she was a player. She was one of those kids that just oozed positivity and everybody loved, and nobody could say a bad word about anything about her. So, I mean, you played. I mean, obviously the loss is still huge in terms of everybody's life, and this, you know, kind of brings it back into focus. But I mean, how's everybody doing in terms of that loss? Like, is everybody sort of, I'm not coming to terms. I don't want to say make it sound like everybody's over it, but is everybody sort of trying to fight their way past it?
I think that, you know, everyone's trying to keep Jordan's memory alive. I think I know within even the criminal justice system, there's a long way to come for her family still. And I know that's been hard. They've been put through the ringer, not only just losing her, but everything they've been put through after.
Yeah.
But I mean, this tournament, it's just, I was thinking about it after, and I know, like you said, Jordan, there's no words to describe the energy that she would bring to a team. And, like, that's exactly what this weekend was. It was so much fun. I got to play with Nikki, and Raven Beezer was in town.
Oh, right on.
And, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, Jordan's obviously, you know, not here physically, but she's still able to bring so many people together for such an amazing weekend. And I know they fundraised. I'm not sure how much they made. I'm sure they're still figuring that out because it was a busy weekend. But, I mean, yeah, I think they're doing the best they can. And, you know, keeping Jordan's memory alive and rioting for Jordan every chance they get. And
Yeah. You played, obviously, in terms of, as you said. What team were you on?
Well, we were just called, I think, Winnipeg in the little thing.
How'd you guys do?
We came in second.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yeah. So it was a lot of hockey games, five hockey games in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was tough on the body, still recovering.
Yeah, yeah, understandable.
But yeah, second place, can't complain. It was a lot of fun, like the most fun I've had playing hockey in a very long time.
So how many, I was sort of looking for information. I couldn't find really, you know, rosters anywhere.
Yeah.
How many McEwen players came in for it? Because, I mean, said Raven came in, obviously, and you guys got a handful that are spread out sort of over Manitoba, but how many actually showed up?
You know, Raven was the only one that ended up coming. I know a few of them had wanted to, like the Griffs. It's just timing-wise, there's a lot going on. But Raven has got the contact information for one of the organizers. And so we started a little alumni group.
Okay.
And we're going to try and get that information a bit earlier and try and get everyone to come down next year and
get
a couple more teams.
Put the Griffs back together.
Yeah.
Put the band back together.
I was talking to Nicole Tetlock, and she's one of the organizers.
Yeah.
And she was just saying, you know, she wasn't expecting it to be as successful as it is and as big as it is. Like, I know next year they're looking at maybe adding two more teams to make it an 8-team tournament, which is huge considering it's only the third year. So, I don't know. It was an incredible weekend. And, I mean, it was tough walking in, seeing all the pictures of Jordan. And, you know, but they did an incredible job. And Jordan would be, I mean, I'm sure she was up there watching. We had Riot going for her the whole time, basically. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, that was the song you guys played when you won, right?
That was Jordan. She chose that one as our goal song.
Yeah.
And so before every game, Jordan would start screaming, "Let's start a riot," as we were going out on the ice. And it was like I said, the energy that she brings. But then you add in that, you know, like going out into a game and playing. And I know me and Nikki had it on the speaker and we were walking into the rink. And I was like, I just feel like I'm in like university again. Like the goosebumps, the like, you know, it was, I don't know. But yeah, that song, I mean, it's such a special song to the Griffins. And I know Raven was saying the Griffins have made an acronym now for Riot that they use like for their team.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what they are. Raven's going to try and find out. But I mean, Jordan's a huge part of the Griffs still, that tournament is just going to keep growing. So next year, everybody, keep your ears open, eyes open, because...
Well, Bendy's out there working for them. Why come not you? You should get in touch with her. Tell her, like, get your butt in here. What are you doing?
Yeah, next year we'll get it. Get some Griffs out.
For those that are asking, money that was raised at the tournament went to Fierce Female Hockey. Again, huge, huge sort of difference maker in terms of the community out in Western Manitoba. It's run by Amy Dirksen. Again, for you, what do you know about Fierce? I can see what I know, but what do you know in terms of what was brought to the ice in terms of supporting this great cause?
Yeah, I mean, I know that the girl that runs Fierce, I believe she played with Jordan on the Huskies.
Yeah.
So I think it was just another tie-in. You know, it's close. It's in memory of Jordan, and I think that's also just, it's giving me goosebumps that, you know, all this money is being raised in memory of Jordan, and it goes towards... girls that can't afford to go into the hockey school or hockey academy. So that way, you know, it's just, there's an equal opportunity for everyone. And that's incredible to me. That's exactly, you know, what we should be doing within hockey is building the game. And it's an incredible little hockey school there. And the fundraising, again, just ties right into Jordan, which is awesome.
Perhaps we'll bring the hockey show out there next year.
There you go.
We have no scheduled appearances at Nationals next year, so
perfect.
Might have to get a radio voice out there and have a little fun with that. So we'll see what we can do with that. But congratulations to the Reimers. Obviously, I mean, the loss is never gonna pass. That's a hard thing to accept, and we want to make sure that they're doing well. But to everybody that participated, thank you for coming out, and thank you for raising money for the Riot Cup. That's awesome. So
I also just want to thank Nicole Tetlock, Whitney Berthelet. If I pronounce the names wrong, I'm so sorry. Brianne DeRue, Nikki Reimer, Karen Reimer, and Ida Poitras, I guess. They were kind of the spearheads in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I know there was, like, even just watching everyone run around all weekend, there was a lot that went into it, and you guys did an incredible job. So thank you, guys.
There we go. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to everybody. And obviously the money is going towards Fierce Female Hockey. It'll be used in a great way this year to help kids get into hockey schools, hockey academies, wherever they need to get into, which is great to see as well. Do you want to do big news, little news? What do you want to do? Your call.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. We'll start in the PWHL then in terms of where we went, because the trade deadline came and went, and I have a great clip about this. Although before we do that, I should bring this up as well. If you're listening to the show tonight and you're unaware, because again, not everybody reads the show preview, they just tune into the show. This is important, and I'm going to play this because you're going to laugh at this, but whatever. This is the epitome of the hockey show right here, of this show tonight.
600. Yes, that's right. We've churned out 600 shows. It goes and goes. 2 times 300. And thousands of promos for shows that were bad.
So that's from The Simpsons when they did their 600 show. But I thought, you know, we'd play that tonight because tonight is show number 600. So it's good having you back here for that, Jenna.
I know. That's exciting.
We put you on 600 there to get it going. But let's get into the news then. We'll have a little bit of news here. PWHL trade deadline came and went this past week. Ottawa sent fan favorite Lexi Agia and the rights to Katrin Lonergan to Boston for Cheyenne D'Arcangelo. Now, I don't have a problem with Ottawa improving their team, but I do have a problem with them trading a fan favorite. And I'll tell you this right now, because this might be the coolest thing ever. Because Lexi had made a very cool sort of thing to do. Very sort of not... I don't think anybody would expect this to happen to them. I'll put it that way. The two voices you're going to hear that you may not recognize are Christine Biondi and... Christine Biondi and Kalia Biondi. So here... here is Lexi's cool thing that she did in Ottawa. And I think, again, this really speaks a lot about how these women are growing this game in the best way possible.
Happy birthday!
Come on in!
I can give you a hug!
I don't usually start crying, but it just made me so happy.
She had expressed to me a few weeks earlier that Lexi was her favorite PWHL player. And I thought, I'm going to ask her if she could do a video call with Kalia and her friends for her birthday, because they're all big fans of Lexi.
So I was like, you know, this might be crazy, but if you're from Ottawa, I don't mind stopping by and showing face. I feel like that might be a little bit more meaningful.
And I was like, what? This is crazy. Next thing I know, she was like, okay, I'm on my way.
It's Lexi!
I was pretty shocked. I just really look up to her.
Happy birthday!
She started crying, and that is not something I thought would ever happen in my life. And then the other girls at the party just all walked up and stared at me in shock and didn't really speak. So then I was a little bit speechless.
You guys can talk to her. Her coming to the house is definitely a testament to her character, but it's also a great demonstration of desire to want to see this sport grow.
Want to play in the PWHL one day?
Yeah, I want to be like her one day.
So how cool is that? That Lexi legitimately said, you know what? I'll do you one better. Forget the video call. I'll just show up for her birthday.
I'm actually just sitting here crying. I don't know. It's everything to do with, I mean, within the PWHL, like all those commercials and everything. But just hearing a story like that, I mean, you hear those coming from the NHL, but not going to someone's house, essentially. But that's huge.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, again, and I'm not trying to frame this around you, but that would be like, again, Cassie Campbell showing up for your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I would die.
I'm almost 30 and I would die.
Right, exactly.
So That's
so these 13-year-old girls who are having this party, not expecting anything, no big deal. All of a sudden,
that's
a car pulls up. Who's getting out of it? It's their favorite player.
That's just so cool, and it's so cool to me. Like, I think the reason it makes me so emotional is because, like, that goes to show just how big the game of hockey has become, though. You know, like, these girls have an idol that got to surprise them. Like, that wasn't something, like, yes, we had, like, Cassie Campbell and whatnot, but this is someone in their hometown.
Right, somebody they know.
That they can go watch on the weekend or on the evening. You know, it's, well, that's crazy. It's incredible.
Again, they traded her to Boston, unfortunately,
because
they were trying to improve their team because they're trying to get in the playoffs.
I get
and Lexi is now a member of PWHL Boston. Lexi, again, visited Kalia Biondi. We're happy to play that because I think, again, like you said, that is one of the coolest things I've heard any player do. Just because, hey, you know what? I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
What a cool birthday.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I mean, these girls are going to talk about that forever.
Oh, my goodness.
Ottawa also sent Amanda Boulier to Montreal for check forward Teresa Vanasova. So it looks like Carla McLeod's getting her check team assembled in Ottawa a little early for the World Championships, as they have a couple players there now. What are your thoughts? Again, you've watched from home, and obviously, you know, as much as you can. What are your thoughts on PWHL action this season? Is it everything you thought it was going to be?
Honestly, I'm loving it.
Yeah?
Like, just the physicality and the intense. And like you said, I know you're talking before, but, you know, on the ice, whether you're friends or not, like, when that whistle blows, you're not friends.
No,
and,
no.
And it shows. And it's honestly, it's so much fun to watch. And just watching it grow, like, each of the teams, too, just getting better and better, like, more together. It's so much fun. Like, every time. And you know what? My daughter, who is just a tiny baby.
Sure, yeah.
Her favorite thing to watch, I'm mostly hockey, but I kind of try and keep it to women's hockey. But I'm not joking. She just starts talking away at the TV. And that's so cool to me that my daughter, I can sit here and watch women's hockey with her, and it's so intense, and so there's just so skilled, you know. It's just, it's so fun.
I mean, it's crazy. And I mean, we talked to Robin Ulrich last week. Robin does the skills development coach for the Huskies. She said the same thing. She's like, it's better than anything I would have dreamed. Like she said, like, I expected all these girls to be, I mean, they're all good, like, they're all Olympians, they're all fantastic hockey players, like, they can certainly play the game, but she's like, the physicality and the speed and just the skill on the ice, and you're like, yeah, it's good. Every game is fantastic.
It's so much fun. Like,
So for those that don't know, there is a break that's happening next week in the PWHL. They're going to take a couple weeks off as the IIHF Women's World Championship prepares to begin. Tournament will run April 3rd to 14th in Utica, New York. So there's going to be a break for about two weeks prior. And then getting into, I guess not two, maybe a week before that, and then getting into the World Championship for 2 weeks there. So ticket prices, for those that don't know, and again, Jason and I have talked about stupid ticket prices about IIHF and how they price, like we were talking about how the World Juniors were like $300 for the gold medal. Gold medal tickets right now in Utica run between $53 and $63.
That's it?
Bronze medal game will get you in for $43.
Let's go.
I'm like, if I can find a flight cheap enough, I'd be down there in a heartbeat. I mean, work would probably have a problem with me going, but whatever.
I'll kidnap you.
Yeah, there you go. I've been abducted. You can't. You got to come find me. But yeah, so it's affordable. It's going to be played in Utica, where, I mean, again, Utica's not a huge city, but it's big enough that it can hold all the teams. But this is going to be a fantastic tournament, I think, with all of these players working all season long to this. Again, they're working towards the PWHL championship, don't get me wrong, but just being able to practice and play every couple of days is huge.
I know. I think the skill level that we're going to see at this championship, I mean, we've seen it before.
Yeah.
But like you said, they were able to play games, not just practice, like, consistently, you know, and it's hard to step into that world stage, and obviously they play together, but having those few scrimmages, exactly, like, that's, I think we're in for a little bit of a surprise in this championship.
I think it's going to be a fun tournament, and we'll have a little bit more international ice hockey news here, because Sweden announced earlier that, according to the Ice Hockey Federation, there are now more than 10,000 active girls and women playing hockey in that country for the first time ever. So Sweden, who didn't have a program as of like 3 years or 4 years ago, who basically axed their women's program because of underfunding, now has more than 10,000 players registered and playing on the women's side of the game.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic. And it goes to show that the SDHL and the PWHL have done a great job in growing the game over there.
Yeah, like you said, just that's 3-4 years they were looking at having nothing.
Right.
And here we are.
So
that's incredible.
Keep building. Keep going. That's awesome.
It just makes me, I'm sitting here smiling away at all this women's hockey.
I know.
It's just so different than what we used to talk about, you know? Like, there's no league. There's no.
Oh, I know.
But here we are.
We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about now. Another fun little story. You may remember the St. Louis Blues winning the Stanley Cup in 2019. I'm sure a lot of people still do. Layla Anderson at the forefront of that. You probably remember the young lady as she battled, deep breath here, hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis. Holy smokes.
Well done.
Okay, there we go. I think I got all that out. I hope I pronounced everything right, but who knows? I'm not a doctor. Just play one on TV. anyway, Layla Anderson was the big story that year. She legitimately was, you know, one of the favorites and was, you know, helped by the team and was out that every, tried to come to every game and cheered them on. Well, we have an update on Layla Anderson. Layla's 15 now, 15 years old, and she and her hockey team just won a Missouri Bantam Hockey Championship. That is cool.
I love that.
I mean, she's not, she fully, again, I don't know if she's fully recovered. She apparently has a clean bill of health. But she and her team are champions this year. So that's awesome.
That's so cool.
Just like her favorite team, the St. Louis Blues, she ended up winning a championship.
She, oh, I love stories like that. The feel good.
And we're going to do, we're gonna kick it back to the McEwen Griffins a little bit here as Shania Schwetz and was named co-head coach, your former teammate, co-head coach of the U18 AAA Red Deer Setter Fund Chiefs in the Alberta Female Hockey League. She'll coach alongside Marissa Graham. Graham played for Brock University in U Sports, and then she went over and suited up in the SDHL for one season. So
that's exciting. Congratulations to the both of them.
Last bit of news that we got to cover here, and this is a big one. You might recognize this, folks, because this is coming up at the next month, which is starting in, 7 days.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans in the United States and here from land.
We are bringing back the annual contest. Survivor NHL Playoffs will come back to the hockey show here on 101.5 UMFM as we are going to gear up for another fun season of that, another crazy season of having everybody phone in, choose teams, do all that. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody that you want to compete against to get in there because there are going to be some good prizes. We haven't quite nailed down what they're going to be yet, but we always send somebody home with some good gear. Last year, we ended up giving the winner, Michael Girl. Mike ended up winning a Seattle Kraken jersey. And the runner-up, Wayne, he ended up taking home a Jets Aviator jersey. So we had two grand prizes last year for the finalists. We're looking at possibly doing that again this year in terms of having a larger group of prizes to hand out in terms of having a little bit more fun or whatever. So if you don't win, it's not like you lose out, but there's also going to be challenges throughout the, as we do every year, challenges throughout first shutout, you know, first hat trick, all that kind of stuff or whatever in terms of having a little bit of fun with it. So we'll knock that down, have a little more fun, obviously get everybody set up for that coming up as well. End of April will include Pledge-O-Rama. Pledge-O-Rama will run April 19th through April 26th. For those that don't know what Pledge-O-Rama is, it's been on hiatus for a couple of years because of the pandemic. We couldn't have a lot of people in the studio, obviously, in terms of having people in and out and doing all that kind of stuff. But Pledge-O-Rama is the annual weekly telethon that we run here at UMFM. It basically covers a chunk of our operating costs, but the money doesn't go towards just paying like bills and all that kind of stuff. It allows us to do all sorts of stuff. So it allowed us 1 year to buy all of the radio gear that we take on the road with us so we can do radio shows from all over the place. So that there's a lot of stuff that goes into the planning, a lot of stuff that goes into the ideas, but it will be back this year, April 19th through 26th. You can get in, you can make a donation if you want, get yourself some UMFM swag, which will be coming out in the first week of April. We're going to have all the pictures up for that in terms of different prize packaging and all the stuff you can get with a donation. Or you can obviously choose the tax receipt and get yourself ahead of the tax game this year, which is also pretty good. So it's a little bit of a win-win-win because you help the station, you get something great, and at the end of the day, good programming. We can continue to offer that thanks to through that donation. So huge all the way around in terms of getting that done. So there's a little bit more news for you in terms of what's going on, and everybody's going to go, well, Got anything else for us? Do you have anything else you can tell us or whatever? I'm going to say right now, Jets are on a bit of a heater. They're playing well, 7-3 right now in their last 10. They go into New Jersey coming up. Thoughts on Jen? I don't know if you've been watching any of the Jets play or anything like that. No?
A little bit. Not consistently.
No, it's, okay, that's fair. That's
hard
fair.
Around bedtime.
But right, right.
I've watched here and there.
And thoughts are?
They're doing well.
Do you like the new additions?
I do. Okay. I do. I really do.
So getting Toffoli and Colin Miller were good?
Oh, yeah. Toffoli is doing so good.
Thoughts on the Coyotes before we get out of here, because we've got about 2.5 minutes to go here. Thoughts on the Coyotes not having a home? Well, they have a home, but not really a home in Arizona. And it seems like the NHL refuses to do anything about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about them not having a home.
It's been going on for 30 years, yeah.
Yeah,
like, okay. Since the Jets left, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's time to switch it up, maybe move somewhere that's going to, you know, make some more money.
I hope so. I mean, if they go to Salt Lake City, maybe that'll be a good idea.
That'd be cool. We'll
One of the things that changed this year at the GM meetings as well, for those that didn't hear, there were some rule changes. But one that they'll be able to do now, they'll be able to look at now, is the puck over the glass rule, in that, again, the NHL feels that everything is okay with that. They feel like there's been no real necessary sort of puck over glass calls that were wrong. By their own count, they released the numbers, 14 of the 766 that were called over the last three seasons were wrong. So 14 of 766. So we're talking like a very minor percentage. But they've changed it now, so you can if a coach feels it's the wrong call, they can challenge on it. So now here's the catch. Oh. If you challenge and you're wrong, it's a 5-on-3 because the puck over glass still counts as a penalty.
Oh, no.
And then the challenge will set you back another player for being wrong because you wasted delay a game, right?
Honestly, I kind of like it.
So you better be right if you're going to call that penalty. You're going to call that challenge.
Know what? I like that.
So I thought that was kind of cool that they basically said, you know what? It's going to be, we're going to uphold the original penalty and give you the additional penalty.
Now you're wasting even more time.
Right, exactly. So,
I like that.
So kind of a good sort of rule changer, because I think it's really going to, again, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people challenge for it, but I could see it coming into play, especially in things like late game in the playoffs, for example. Puck goes over glass, we got to review, like we have to review that just to make sure sort of thing or whatever, right? But we'll see what happens at that point in terms of moving on to that. But that's basically the show for this week. Anything you want to promote before we get out of here, Jen? Because we got basically a minute left here.
No.
No.
No, I don't think
I'm good.
So.
Jason, we'll be back next week. Jen, you're always welcome back. You know that, right? Like, you can stop in whenever you like. You can drop by. You can join us for some chatter if you want. But
I would love that.
We'll get an update on Jason next week in terms of his book signing that he's going to be at tomorrow. He's going to be scribbling and in books all for an entire evening and getting his name out there with all sorts of people come down to see him. But congratulations to him again on everything with the book sales. He's doing well with that. And we're going to get out of here again. Jenna, thanks for coming in tonight. We really appreciate it. You were awesome as always. Always good to see you again out here. And we'll get caught up again shortly then, for sure, at some point.
Heck yeah. Thanks all right. for having me.
That's the hockey show for this week. Folks, stay tuned for Free Range Radio. Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. It's Thursday night. It's been the hockey show. We'll see you here again next Thursday.
In the time I've worked here, I've taken great pains to see as little of this building as possible. Turns out the third floor is silent, empty, and completely free of work.
Broadcasting live from the third floor of University Center at the University of Manitoba, this is 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg.